Passover. I feel like we talk about this kind of stuff all the time, but it's Passover. You got to talk about it, right? And the Hebrews were doing well, weren't they? Everything was going great, and there was this kid was born, and his brothers didn't like him, and he dreamed some dreams, and through their mischief, he ends up in Egypt, ends up in prison of nothing he had done wrong. And all of that was God's design. All of that was God working toward an end. And he gives the king a dream. He gives Joseph the answer. And the Jews, the family of Israel, Jacob's family, leaves the promised land and goes into Egypt to a place called Goshen. And there they thrived, but not in their own land. And there rose a king who knew not Joseph. It's like what we're seeing today, a king that knows not Jesus. And he decided that he wanted to get rid of the Jews, and then he decided instead of getting rid of them, he had put them to use, and he enslaved them. And generations went on, and they were slaves. And they were miserable in their slavery. And remember that Egypt always represents sin. Egypt always represents that low point of life. And as slaves in Egypt, they begin to cry out for God to save them and to deliver them. And God raised up a prophet named Moses. But he didn't just raise him up. Moses grew up in the home of Pharaoh. And then at the age of 40, God said, Moses, I've got a job for you. Well, at 40, he identified with Israel. At 80, God says, I've got a job for you, Moses. At 80. You feel like you're past your prime? Are you 80 yet? You're just getting there, all right? And so at 80, God says, I've got a job for you. And he says, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go, right? We go through the plagues. Each one of those plagues represents a false religion of Egypt, a god of Egypt. And then finally, in Exodus chapter 12, God has the final plague. And he says in verse number 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire. His head with his legs, with the pertness thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain till morning. That which remains of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It is the Lord's Passover. If we were to continue reading, we see we could just skip to verse 18. In the first month, the 14th day of the month at evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we have Passover, and then we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Passover is a day. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is 7 days. The leaven represents sin. It also represents pride. But in this instance, for Passover, the point of not putting leaven in the bread was because they wouldn't have time to wait for the bread to rise. But he said, be ready in haste. Be ready dressed with your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. Be ready. We look at the Passover, this Passover in Egypt, and we see the lamb and the unleavened bread and the bitter herb and the blood on the doorposts. Today, around the world, Jewish observers have gathered and will gather for the Feast of Passover. They will partake of lamb. On that table will be a lamb shank bone, that bone that represents that it has come out of the lamb. It is just there to remind them. They will have a roasted egg on their table. The roasted egg represents new life, a new life that they would have. Now, you didn't see that in Exodus, did you? But it represents spring and new life. It's part of the Jewish Seder, the Passover Seder. The egg is also associated with mourning, that they mourn the destruction of the temple. Of course, modern Passover. The bitter herbs represent slavery, represents the misery that they had when they were there. That bitter herb, today they would use horseradish or something of that sort. And then they would also have a non-bitter herb, celery or parsley, something that's not bitter but leafy and green. And they would dip that in the salt water. And that salt water represents the tears that they cried as they were slaves in Egypt. All of these elements on the table at Passover. They would take apples and nuts and crush it into a paste, a sweet paste. But that paste represents the mortar and the bricks that they made while they were slaves in Egypt, called Kereset. On that table, they also have 4 cups of wine. 4 cups of wine. 1 cup says, I will bring you out. The promises of God. I will bring you out. I will deliver you from bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will take you as my people. Those are the 4 cups of wine. But also, in their great tradition, they have another cup of wine. Do you know what that's there for? It's there for Elijah. As they wait for the coming of the prophet Elijah, the return of the prophet Elijah, if you recall, and I've said this many times, they leave the door cracked open, just as Brother Bob has tonight. We appreciate that. Leave the door cracked open just in case Elijah should come, so he would know he would be welcome at our Passover table. As they tell the story and recount the Exodus, they tell the story in first person. I was a slave in Egypt. I was exiled from my land. I heard of a sweet land of my father Abraham, but I was a slave in the slime pits of Egypt. And they stood over me with their whips and their horses and their strength and their intimidation, and they made me work until I could work no more. And as I would crawl back to my home to refresh myself for the evening, only to know I would do it the next day, I would weep and cry out and say, God, where are you? Help us, save us. And God made a promise. And each one of those cups of wine represents those promises. God raised up a prophet. And he went to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. And there were plagues. And then on that night, as we prepared our lamb and each lamb, and it was according to how many people were in your home as to how big a lamb you would have. And if one lamb was too much for your family, you could join with another family. But whosever house you went in to eat it, you better put the blood on the doorpost. As the death angel came through that night, if he saw the blood, he said, I will pass over you. And that night, as we sat with our shoes on and our staffs in our hand, and all that we would take with us was ready to go, we ate that meal and we heard the cry throughout the land of those who had rejected God's promise, that were disobedient to God's command. And when the death angel came to those homes where there was no blood, he entered in and he took the life of the firstborn because they did not obey God and they did not put the blood as a token of their salvation. And we escaped that night. And we found passage and we found freedom. And we no longer eat the bread of affliction. The other element that would be there is the bread of affliction. And they recount these stories throughout the world tonight, Jews will, as they look back to that time when they escaped. But then all these years later, there was a man. And he said to the 12 men that were with him, he said, go into a city and tell the man we need the use of a room. We go to Luke chapter 22. Tell him the Lord has need of that room and prepare for our Passover. In Luke chapter 22, in verse number 15, Jesus, as he gathered with the 12, said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Think about what went into the preparation. Think about how those that were sent ahead to prepare for the Passover, they took that lamb and they sacrificed that lamb and they roasted that lamb. And of course, they prepared all of the other elements. And then they came before that door and they put the blood. Jesus came into that room under the blood, knowing that it was His blood that would be sacrificed the next day on the cross for the salvation of man. He entered into that room desiring to have Passover with them. And he says in verse number 17, it says he took the cup and gave thanks. Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. What were those promises? I will bring you out. The blood of Jesus. I will bring you out. I'll deliver you from bondage, redeem you with an outstretched arm, and take you as my people. That was his promise. But he said this in verse number 19. He took the bread and gave thanks, break it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. You see, they observed the Passover. There was lamb, the bone which had not been broken. All of the elements of Passover, and he chose the unleavened bread, the bread which has no pride and no sin. And he said, this is my body. He took the cup, the fruit of the vine, the wine, the juice. He said, this is my blood in the New Testament. And he gave that as a directive as to what was going to happen. Did they understand it? There are still people that don't understand it. But what he was saying is, my body will be broken for you. My blood will be poured out for you. As Jews, their great salvation was a memory of something God had done centuries ago. but not something he was still doing. But isn't it great to know that what God has done for us, he's still doing? Not only did he save me, he'll save you. He'll save anyone who puts their faith in him. We're not looking back to a God that used to. We're looking to a God that still does. We're looking to a Savior that still will. We could go on to John and see his account of what happened that night. But Jesus, as a Jewish man, observed a Jewish tradition, which, by the way, God said, you will do this and remember this and observe this for generations, every generation. He expected it. And he took those elements with those Jewish men, and he said, I've got a new meaning I want you to draw out of this. And I want you to know this is for your salvation. So, as we celebrate with our Jewish friends their Passover, maybe we could find opportunity to encourage them to believe in the Lamb of God. Encourage them to see a God that not just used to, but still does. Let's stand. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus and pray you will use us in this holiday celebration that just started at dusk and will continue through the day tomorrow. That as we would not want to debate or cause conflict, but we can teach and persuade. God, that we can show our faith in a Savior who still does. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the blood. I pray that we will do well to be good ministers this week. Forgive our sins. Give rest to our souls and to our bodies. Touch those who are hurting physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. God, meet us in our needs and help us to see your hand. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.